righteous men whose age will be not to defend some ancient creed, but to live out the laws of Christ in every thought and word and deed. God send us men alert and quick, His lofty precepts to translate, until the laws of Christ become the laws and habits of the state.
Welcome to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. We challenge you to open your Bible and follow along with today's message. Prove all things, hold fast that which is good, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. To contact us or read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit GodSendUsMen.com. And now, here is evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for tuning into the message this morning. I had an interesting thing happen this week. A couple of weeks ago, I asked you to contact Dave Weiss and then ask him to contact me. As most of you know, Dave Weiss is also known as Flat Earth Dave. And the reason that I want to get in touch with him is because when you watch his videos, he says the most important thing about the truth regarding the shape of God's creation is the why. Why the lie? Why have the scientists been lying? And more to the point than that, and why have pretty much every single, quote, government on earth, man's governments, promoted the lie concerning the shape of God's creation? Well, Dave answered an email this week and contacted me, and we went back and forth a little bit. In, as he said, 100% agreement, and he asked me to prepare a message that he's going to add to his website. So please be in prayer as I make preparations to put the gospel message on his website. That's pretty awesome, and I hope to have something complete this week. You know, Dave's answer to that question is so very close to the truth, as they lie to cover up the existence of God, that's what Dave says. And that, as I said, that answer is very close. And when you listen to him explain his position, he gives the correct answer, but I don't think he's got it completely figured out yet. And reason is, and listen now, Dave will tell you that when he talks to people about the shape of the world or the sun or the moon, the stars, etc., he will tell you that he doesn't normally go to the Bible first. And I think the thing he says is that the shape, the sun, the moon, the stars, etc., proves that the Bible is true, which is fine. It's the exact opposite of the way that I teach to get to the conclusion, but we're coming to nearly the same conclusion. The thing that is different, and it's what I'm trying to get people to understand, is just the simple disbelief of God or denying the existence of God. Well, yes, that's obviously dangerous. It's really bad. But it is the denial of the existence of God that is the door opening to the reason why one man is able to dominate another man, and without the consent of the man that's being dominated. This is something that's so aggravating to me about the way people believe in the world today. And I mean people who call themselves, quote, Christians. You know, men get together in these clubs. In politics, they call them parties. In other areas of life, they call them associations. I mean, even homeowners associations. But people join themselves together for the purpose of trying to make a society or a community conform to their personal likes or dislikes, their personal viewpoints. And when they gather enough power, and that's all it is, it's power, it's not authority, definitely not God-ordained authority. But when they gather to themselves enough power, then they begin to use force on the minority groups to force them to obey their personal likes or dislikes. Their personal likes or dislikes are called, quote, laws. And they send armed people throughout the community in cars, on motorcycles, horses, and even on foot. They send armed people out into the community to make people obey them, to obey what amounts to their own personal likes and dislikes. And they've come up with systems to force people to pay for their viewpoints, for their personal likes and their personal dislikes. And people believe that they have the power to enforce their personal likes and personal dislikes on other people are the very definition of Satan's, devils, demons, etc. According to the Bible, according to the Word of God, the only time one man is lawfully allowed to meddle in the life of another man is if that other man breaks one of the very few laws of God. That's it. You can't, quote, fine someone because their grass is too high. You know, one man likes his grass to be 4 inches tall. Another man likes to have his grass 3 inches tall. And when the 3-inch believer finds other 3-inch believers, then they force the 4-inch believer to either cut his grass to 3 inches or else. And then if enough 4-inch believers get together in the next 4 years, well, then they can force the 3-inch believers to let their grass grow higher or else. This is not of God. The laws of God are what we're supposed to follow. There are no penalties in the laws of God for failure to register. There are no penalties in the laws of God for failure to file. There are no penalties in the laws of God for failure to ask permission from another man or a group of men or people who call themselves, quote, government. There are no penalties in the laws of God for failure to obtain a passport. Penalties, also known as judgments, when they are found in the law of God, can be enforced upon people who violate the laws of God. You can't murder someone. You can't steal from someone. You can't commit perjury against someone. You can't adulterate. And just a few handful of other things. There are penalties in the law of God for violating those few things. But for all the millions and millions of things that man has come up with, which are nothing more than their own personal preferences for what they perceive as right and wrong, when you can't find a penalty for violating those things in the law of God, that's where society goes off the rails. Is there a penalty in the law of God for not having an identification card issued by mere men? No, there's not. In fact, for the believer, for the Christian, for the one who follows Jesus Christ the King, there's ample proof from the Word of God contained in principles that God said you're not to require those things of people. And you better not be applying judgments against people who refuse. You know, I said what I just said because we live in a society of people. We live around a society of people who affect us. And people who actually call themselves Christians, they aren't. They aren't Christians. They are churchians. But they believe that they can make society better if enough of them get together and vote for what amounts to their own preferences, their ideas of how long grass should be kept. And I know that's a petty, simpleton analogy, but it's true. Man's, quote, laws are their own ideas of how society should be, and they use force to try to make people comply, and it's not right, it's not of God, it's antichrist. So, when you do away with the belief in God, when you even cast doubt on the existence of God, then you are doing away with Genesis chapter 3, where God told Adam and Eve, they were not to partake of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Man is not allowed to define good and evil. It's not allowed. And where you find men making their own definitions of good and evil, you find serpents, you find devils, Satans, demons, and they are all whispering in the ears of the people saying, did God really say? Did God really say you aren't allowed to make society conform to the way that you believe is right or wrong? And friends, it's actually very simple, and we've missed it badly. And I'm telling you, the crack in the door, the chink in the armor, was when the scientists began telling people that the Genesis account of creation is wrong. And when the religious scientists, otherwise known as, quote, preachers, began convincing people that the laws of God have been done away with, well, that was icing on the cake. And of course, they loved to use arguments about the dietary laws, the physical purity laws, the fabric laws, the ceremonial laws, which are all diversionary when they speak of them. What do I mean by that? It's the proverbial throwing the baby out with the bathwater. We've heard all the scoffers talking about some old covenant laws that they don't even have an understanding of. But the purpose is not nearly so much as getting rid of the laws of God so much as it is replacing the laws of God that are actually, in fact, today with the teaching that man's laws are what are to be obeyed. That's the main purpose of denying God, of denying creation, of denying the Bible. It is to establish a world where, just like Carl Sagan said, it's just us. Flat Earth Dave says that when enough people in the world wake up to the real shape of the world truth, then all the, quote, governments in the world will collapse. And as much as I wish that were true, that's not how it's going to happen. But when enough people, people who claim to be followers of Jesus Christ, wake up to the fact that we've been lied to about everything, including the shape of the world, and when they understand that God said man is not to be their own lawmaker, when that belief turns into works, because faith without works, belief without works is dead, being alone. When people begin to live their lives according to what they say they believe, that's when we will see monumental change in the world. Belief is not enough. Faith is not enough. It's when belief takes action, that's when we will see change. So Flat Earth Dave is trying to wake people up to the scientific deception in the world. And that's great. I'm all for it. I wish him well. I wish him success. But I love it when he answers the why would they lie question. And he does it in almost every video that he makes. But ultimately, it has to end up at the laws of God, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ. When people believe that we must obey the exclusive laws of God because that is what the Bible teaches, then we will begin to see change. The world is certainly not going to go away easily, but that's what will turn the world upside down. When people begin to put their faith into action, their belief into action. All right. I need to say this again, broken record time. This series, and it doesn't take, pun intended, rocket science to understand this. In this series, I'm laying out my beliefs. I believe the world is sitting still and the sun, the moon, and the stars are moving. I believe the moon is its own light source. And I do not believe the moon is nothing but a reflector. I believe the earth is like clay turned to a seal. I believe the world is not moving. I do not believe the world is a spinning ball. But why? Friends, would you believe that I have been accused of not providing any biblical proof in this series for the statements that I just made? I don't understand that. Every single message I've been providing Bible passages as to why I do not believe God's creation is a spinning ball. You know, Flat Earth Dave is always telling people that are globe believers what it is that they are supposed to believe if they believe that the world is a spinning ball. They're supposed to believe the sun is sitting still and the world is moving. They're supposed to believe the moon is a reflector. They're supposed to believe that the waters are somehow contained on a ball without borders. They're supposed to believe in the Big Bang that supposedly occurred 13.7 billion years ago. And I presented lots of Bible verses refuting each and every one of those beliefs. If the sun is moving and the world is sitting still, that point alone destroys the spinning ball theory. Okay, let's look at something else that NASA says about the sun compared to what the Bible says about it. Okay, if what NASA says about the sun is what the truth is, then the Bible is not true. And if the Bible is not true, there is no God. And if there is no God, then man somehow has to justify the reason for why one man is allowed to create his own definitions of good and evil and force others to obey them. Side note, one of the ways that they say this happens is that pesky little thing called consent. But that only works until a man says he doesn't consent. All right, from the NASA website, and the link is in the notes, how does our sun compare with other stars? The short answer, our sun is an average-sized star. There are smaller stars and there are larger stars, even up to 100 times larger. Many other solar systems have multiple suns, while ours just has one. Our sun is 864,000 miles in diameter and 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit on the surface. Our sun is a bright, hot ball of hydrogen and helium at the center of our solar system. It is 864,000 miles in diameter, which makes it 109 times wider than Earth. It's 10,000 degrees Fahrenheit at the surface and 27 million degrees Fahrenheit in the core. Yikes! Oh, that's brilliant language. Our sun is pretty impressive, but how does it compare to other stars? There are billions more stars in the Milky Way galaxy, the galaxy we call home, and there are many, many more in the rest of the universe. Is our sun special? The size of our sun. It turns out that our sun is an average-sized star. There are bigger stars and there are smaller stars. We have found stars that are 100 times bigger in diameter than our sun. Truly, those stars are enormous. We have also seen stars that are just one-tenth the size of our sun. End quote. Okay, now, that's what people who believe in NASA, who believe in a Big Bang, a spinning ball world, that's what people are supposed to believe. All right, turn to Genesis chapter 1. And read with me, please, beginning in verse 14. And God said, "Let there be lights in the firmament of the heaven to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and for seasons and for days and years. And let them be for lights in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth, and it was so. And God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. He made the stars also. And God set them in the firmament of the heaven to give light upon the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good." NASA says the sun is just an average sun. NASA says that the sun is a star. There are some that are bigger, some that are smaller. God said he made two great lights, and he made the stars also. The sun is not a star. The moon is not a star. The sun and the moon are distinctly different from the stars. All right, let's go rapid fire here with some Bible verses proving that the sun and the moon are uniquely different than the stars from the scripture. And again, the whole purpose of this series is to show what the Bible says about God's creation. Listen, I'm not interested in videos. Unless those videos agree with the Bible, of course. But my beliefs are not based on videos and even on videos that agree with the Bible. My beliefs are based on what does the Bible say, and that's the purpose of this series. Rapid fire, I'm going to read these. The references are in the notes if you want to go back and look at them again. Genesis 37, talking about Joseph. And he dreamed yet another dream and told it his brethren and said, "Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me." Deuteronomy chapter 4. "Unless thou lift up thine eyes unto heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the host of heaven, shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided unto all nations under the whole heaven," Job 9, "which commandeth the sun, and it riseth not, and sealeth up the stars." Psalm 148, "Praise ye him, sun and moon, praise him, all ye stars of light." Ecclesiastes 12, "While the sun, or the light, or the moon, or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain." Isaiah 13, and there's a pattern here. These three aspects of God's creation are pretty much always mentioned separately. There's a distinct difference between them. "For the stars of heaven and the constellations thereof, therefore shall not give their light. The sun shall be darkened in his going forth, and the moon shall not cause her light to shine." Jeremiah 31, "Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinances of the moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves thereof roar, the Lord of hosts is his name." Ezekiel 32:7, "And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light." Once again, another good reference to the moon as a light. Joel chapter 2, verse 10. "The earth shall quake before them, the heaven shall tremble, the sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining." Joel 3:15, "The sun and the moon shall be darkened, and the stars shall withdraw their shining." From the Apocrypha, 4 Ezra 6, verse 45. "Upon the fourth day thou commandest that the sun should shine, and the moon give her light, and the stars should be in order." From the Wisdom of Solomon, 7, verse 29. "For she is more beautiful than the sun, and above all the order of stars, being compared with the light, she is found before it." Letter of Jeremiah 1, verse 59. "For sun, moon, and stars, being bright and sent to do their offices, are obedient." They all have different offices, different jobs. Matthew 24, verse 29. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days shall the sun be darkened, and the moon shall not give her light, and the stars shall fall from heaven, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken." Luke 21, 25. "And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Acts 27, 20. "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." 1 Corinthians 15, 41. "There is one glory of the sun, and another glory of the moon, and another glory of the stars. For one star differeth from another star in glory." Revelation 1:16. "And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength." Revelation 8, verse 12. "And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so as the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise." Revelation 12:1, "And there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman clothed with the sun, and the moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. Now, that was every Bible reference from the KJV where the sun and the stars were mentioned together, and it's always the sun, the moon, and the stars. According to the Bible, they are all distinctly different. They have different, quote, offices, different purposes. They are distinctly different. The Bible does not teach that the sun is a star. So again, what does NASA have to gain by making people doubt the Word of God? Yeah, people may think I'm just as crazy as can be, and that's okay. If craziness is determined by belief in the Bible, the Scriptures, the Word of God, then guilty. I'm crazy. I'm crazy for believing the Word of God, and if that's the measuring stick, then I'm all for it. NASA does what it does, as well as all the other, quote, space stations of all of men's governments around the world. They've done this since their inception. It is for the purpose of making people doubt the Genesis account of creation and all the many other things that the Bible says about God's creation, because if Genesis chapter 3 was the rule in the world rather than the extreme exception, the little g, quote, governments of men would cease to exist. It never ceases to amaze me how people seem to be perfectly fine living their lives according to the millions and millions of, quote, laws, rules, regulations, ordinances, etc., that some other men have decided that that's the way they're going to live. And then a gun is held to people's heads commanding compliance or else. Yeah, I've said this before. Washington, D.C. is over 1,000 miles away from where I sleep each night. And I don't know a single individual that lives there. I don't know if I've ever known anyone that lives there. So it's reasonable, or supposed to be reasonable, that people that are over 1,000 miles away from me, people that I don't even know, possess the authority from God to establish a set of rules and regulations that I'm supposed to live by. And if I don't, then it's okay for them to punish me? To take my property away? To put me in a cage? That is the most insane concept I've ever heard of. And why is it that so few people share that same understanding? Well, to me, that answer is pretty simple too. Most of the people that I've known in my 62 years, so says my mother, claim to believe in God or a God or something. And let me say this. Most of the people that I've known in my life have had some sort of affiliation with something called, quote, church. And church, which is the religious arm of the state, James Wayne said this to me this week, it's fantastic. Church is a state-owned business that provides religious services. That is great. I love that. The 501c3 government corporation, it waters people, it marries people, it buries people, and all the while does all it can do to make sure people obey the state. It has successfully twisted the Word of God into things that it never said for the purpose of making people believe that God said. It was God who said, you are to submit to and obey people you don't even know. People that are hundreds of miles away from you. People who sit in rooms and make their own decisions on how people should be forced to live their lives. And they say God commands this. Sodomites, freaks, queers, perverts, warmongers, Jew lovers, fake money lovers, control freaks, God haters, blasphemers, sitting around passing, quote, laws, their definitions of right and wrong, and then forcing people without their consent to submit. That's how it's happened. And it's wrong. You know, with or without consent, it's wrong. It is not of God. It is not the Bible way. It is the ultimate rebellion, sticking a fist in the face of God and saying, we don't care what you or your antiquated book says. We're doing things our way. And it's the, quote, church people. Good grief. These deceivers are everywhere, commanding people to submit to the ungodly in exchange for the tax-deductible gift and tax-exempt status. They sell their souls to the devils for a pittance of slop in a pig trough. Jesus said, the Gentiles love to exercise dominion over one another, but among you it shall not be so. That's not difficult. That's not hard to understand. Yet that one is rarely mentioned. I guess they haven't figured out how to twist that one, so it's better just to leave it alone and not to discuss it. NASA says there are countless numbers of suns in the, quote, universe, some bigger, some smaller. But God said he made two great lights, the sun and the moon, and he made the stars. This also should be very simple. The word great in the Hebrew Chaldee dictionary, there's no great mystery here. It means great of magnitude, extent. An example is a large man. Okay, there are two great lights in God's creation. And if I'm an idiot for claiming that NASA and all their billions of dollars and all their, quote, educated scientists, astronomers, and astrophysicists are wrong and the Bible is right, then that's what I'm standing on. From space.com, the link is in the notes. North Star closer to Earth than thought. The famed North Star has been a beacon in the night sky throughout human history. But a new study reveals the star is actually closer to our solar system than previously thought. Scientists studying the North Star Polaris found that it is about 323 light years from the Sun and Earth, substantially closer than a previous estimate of 434 light years by a European satellite in the late 1990s. The new distance measurement may help astronomers in the pursuit of several cosmic mysteries, such as the hunt for elusive dark energy, researchers said. Polaris is what astronomers call a Cepheid variable star, a pulsating star used by scientists to measure distances in space. Astronomers can measure the distance to a Cepheid variable by studying how it changes in brightness over time. Since Polaris is the nearest Cepheid variable star to our solar system, an accurate distance to the star could serve as a benchmark for measurements of other Cepheids used to determine the scale of the universe. In the 1990s, the European Space Agency's star mapping Hipparchos satellite determined the 434 light-year distance to Polaris, while other studies suggested the star could be closer to the Sun. One light-year is the distance light travels in a single year, about 6 trillion miles. The new study by astronomers in Canada, Ukraine, and Belgium confirmed the closer distance using new high-resolution observations of the star's light spectrum. Huh? All these little G governments kind of getting together here on this. That's kind of interesting, isn't it? Polaris presents certain anomalies that have so far defied a straightforward interpretation, said study leader David Turner of Canada's St. Mary's University in Halifax in a statement. Our high-resolution spectroscopic observations of Polaris may signal the beginning of a new era in understanding the star, end quote. So, if Polaris, according to NASA, according to the proponents of the ball, and I spelled that ball B-A-A-L, not B-A-L-L, according to NASA, Polaris, and all these other government space agencies, the North Star that everyone can see, that star is 434 light years away. Or now they're saying it's a little bit closer, I guess. Not 435 or 434. It's 434 light years away or whatever they said it was. And we can see it. If it's that far away and we can see it, then how big is it? Okay, from scaleofuniverse.com, that link is also in the notes. Polaris, the giant star in the night sky. Have you ever looked up at the night sky and wondered about the size of the stars? Polaris, the North Star, is one of the brightest and most significant stars in our galaxy. It's not just its brightness that makes it stand out, but also its gigantic size. The size of Polaris. Imagine a star so big that if placed in the center of our solar system, it would extend beyond the orbit of planet Mercury. That's how massive Polaris is. In terms of diameter, Polaris is about 46 times the size of our sun. That's right. 46 suns could fit side by side across the width of Polaris. To put this in perspective, let's compare it with some other objects. The Earth. If the Earth was the size of a nickel, Polaris would be almost as big as 6 school buses lined up end to end. The Moon. If we compare Polaris with our Moon, we would need roughly 10,000 moons to match the diameter of Polaris. The Sun. As we mentioned before, Polaris is about 46 times the diameter of the Sun. So you would need an army of 46 suns to match the size of Polaris. Quite impressive, isn't it? End quote. Sure is. That's impressive. In just 3 paragraphs, you've attempted to make naive people deny the truth of the Word of God. God said He made 2 great lights, one to rule the day and the other to rule the light. And in multiple places throughout the scripture, those 2 great lights are called the sun and the moon. They are called the greater lights, and God said He made 2 of them. There's not a light that God created that is bigger in magnitude or extent than the sun or the moon. The sun and the moon are the great lights, and He made also the stars. The stars are lesser lights. They're not greater than the sunlight and greater than the moonlight. That's what the Bible says. Okay, I'm not looking to validate the Word of God with a video, and I absolutely will not invalidate the Word of God with a video. The people that claim to know these distances and claim to know these sizes, hey, they're working from a base number in a mathematical equation, and that's all they're doing. And by tweaking that base number, someone can make the size or the distance pretty much anything they want to. That's what I keep saying. For every video the Globers put out saying one thing based on their math, the quote flat earthers can do the same thing using a different base number in their formula. They can say things totally different than the Globers do. So the safest thing to do is to base our beliefs off of what the Word of God says. And the Bible, the inspired word of the Creator Himself, says He made 2 great lights. That's pretty simple. There are no bigger stars than the sun. There are no, quote, planets bigger than the sun. The planets are stars. That's what the Bible says. If we're ever going to turn the world upside down for the kingdom of God, we must bring ourselves back to a place of standing on the Word of God as the basis of our beliefs, of our faith. All right, moving on. Turn to Job chapter 38, and let's read beginning with verse 1. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, "Who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, for I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who hath laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it?" Okay, now I've tried very hard in this series. And I think with the exception of one time, there might have been more. Who knows? That being when I told you that when Teresa and I look at the moon together, our minds cannot comprehend reflection. We are seeing a light. And what I'm saying is that I'm trying very hard not to appeal to my senses in coming to the conclusions. Okay, I know that most people who are arguing for the Genesis account of creation will say, appeal to your senses. Are you spinning? Are you on a spinning ball rotating at 1,000 miles per hour, then revolving around the sun at 60,600 miles per hour? Can you sense that? And I'm not saying that we should not ever appeal to our senses if our senses line up with the scripture. But people can spin things all sorts of ways. So I've been trying not to put a, pun intended, spin on what I'm saying the Bible says. So when I read Job 38:5, I don't find difficulty in this verse. Stretched the line upon it. That is what builders do. It is what carpenters do. They stretch a line to help them build straight level to build plumb walls, walls that are straight up and down. They stretch a line that is straight. It is not curved. If they build from a curved line, then they're going to have problems. In directly referring to God's earth, to the foundations of his earth, in measurements, he says, "Who hath stretched the line upon it?" And again, trying hard not to. Okay, wait just a minute. I need you to stop right here for just a minute. I want you to keep your finger here and turn to Proverbs chapter 3. And let's read beginning with verse 1. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." And of course, we could stop here for the next several months or years. It's about God's law. It's about God's commandments, God's very few laws and commandments. We live in a world today that, one, doesn't even believe in the laws of God, but rather believes exclusively in the, quote, laws of mere men. The world today, the day-to-day lives of most people, the great majority of people, they live according to the laws of men and not the laws of God. I've told you many times before, when I was in my trials, the white, Republican, churchian, persecutors, judges, cops, clerks, all of them told me repeatedly, unashamedly, without the slightest bit of hesitation, "We do not live by the laws of God." And the words that came out of their own mouths seemed not to faze them in the least. Over and over they said those things to me. But no matter how many times they say it, no matter how much threatening they do, no matter how much torture they want to inflict, if a man wants to be called one of the sons of God, Proverbs 3:1 better be understood. "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man." Now watch verse 5. Learn this. Memorize this as a little kid, probably 5 years old. Have tried hard to live by this principle my entire life for as long as I can remember. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. This is the exact same principle as the just shall live by faith. And we live by faith. We live by belief in the word of God and not by sight. The earth, God said, the earth is measured with a line. You stretch out a line to make a measurement. Now again, leaning not on my own understanding, the Hebrew dictionary here defines line this way, as it appears in this verse. Construct, measuring line for marking off a possession inland, especially in building. Okay, that is not hard. Now, but I will concede that a line could be used to measure the circumference of a ball. Okay, but let's look at another passage. Turn to Isaiah chapter 44 and read from verse 1. "Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen. Thus saith the Lord that made thee and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob my servant, and thou Jeshurun whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon thy seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willows by the watercourses. One shall say, I am the Lord's, and another shall call himself by the name of Jacob, and another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there is no God." And of course we have to stop here. The Lord God, the Creator, he is the first, he is the last, and meaning that there is nothing in between. He's the King of Israel, and beside him, there is no God. Number 430 in Strong's, what is it? What's the word for God? As in, beside me, there is no God. It's Elohim, rulers, judges, magistrates. For the follower of Christ, for the follower of the God of the Bible, this is the same message that God raised up men throughout every generation in the Bible to tell his people, I am Israel's king. I'm the first. I'm the last. And beside me, there is no God. There's supposed to be no other God in your life. You're not to have your own judges, rulers, magistrates. You're not to be your own lawmakers. Can men have judges? Yes, as long as their judgments are based according to the laws of God. But a judge cannot rule. A judge cannot make judgments based on the definitions of right and wrong as defined by men. The second that happens, it's over. They've crossed the line. They've become altogether corrupt. Men become corrupt when they start making judgments, when they start making decisions, when they start enforcing their own definitions of good and evil, right and wrong, on other men. Verse 7, and who, as I, shall call and shall declare it and set it in order for me, since I appointed the ancient people and the things that are coming and shall come, let them show unto them. Fear ye not, neither be afraid. Have not I told thee from that time and have declared it? You're my witnesses. Is there a God beside me? Yea, there is no God. I know not any. This is not Old Testament fable. This is eternal, everlasting, everlasting that every single generation that has existed is supposed to live by. It's from things from the ancient times. It's from things that are coming and shall come. Verse 9, they that make a graven image are all of them vanity, and their delectable things shall not profit. And they are their own witnesses, they see not nor know, that they may be ashamed. Who hath formed a god, or molten a graven image that is profitable for nothing? Look at what God told the prophet to say. Who has formed a god? They formed their own, quote, government. That's what this means. For the man who claims to be yielded to the word of God, this should not be difficult to understand. We are not to form our own gods. In the day you eat of this tree, you will be like gods. And in the day you do this, that's the day you die. Behold, all his fellows shall be ashamed, and the workmen, they are of men. Let them all be gathered together, let them stand up, yet they shall fear and they shall be ashamed together. The smith with the tongues both worked in the coals and fashioned it with hammers and worketh it with strength of his arms. Yea, he is hungry and his strength faileth. He drinketh no water and is faint. Now watch. Analogy with a spiritual meaning derived from a physical understanding. Verse 13. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. He marketh it out with a line. He fitteth it with planes, and he marketh it out with a compass, and maketh it after the figure of a man, according to the beauty of a man, that it may remain in the house. The carpenter stretcheth out his rule. This is for making straight lines. The carpenter marketh it out with a line. This is the exact same word as we saw a few minutes ago in Job 38:5. I'm not appealing to my own understanding. I'm not appealing to my own senses. Job was talking about measuring, or God was telling Job about measuring the earth with a line. And this Isaiah chapter 44 is using the exact same words as Job 38. This is measuring and marking straight lines, and there are no straight lines on a ball. He fitteth it with planes. Okay, the word planes here, only found one time in the KJV, and it's the tool that makes straight line cuts in wood. You use a planer, a plane, to smooth out and flatten a piece of wood. Okay, the language here is consistent with something that is flat, not a ball, as is every other verse in the Bible that talks about creation. But again, so as not to appeal to our own senses or lean on our own understanding. Maybe carpenters in Bible times, they used to take logs and then take out their planes or their planers and turn those logs into balls. I don't know. I mean, there's just too much biblical evidence and biblical language that causes me to dismiss such an idea. Planes are for making tabletops. Planes are used for making wood flat and smooth. All right, finish the next several verses and then we'll conclude this next week. Verse 6, whereupon are the foundations thereof fastened, or who laid the cornerstone thereof? When the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy, or who shut up the sea with doors when it brake forth as if it had issued out of the womb? NASA, the other, quote, space agencies from the other, quote, governments of men. Okay, when you examine what they say, their own words, their own, quote, studies over and over, the things they say are different, sometimes totally opposite of what the Bible says. If people believe them, then the Bible is going to be dismissed as not credible. And it won't be long before people begin denying not just the Genesis account of creation, but everything else in the book. We live in a generation of mockers. The Bible, the God of the Bible, Jesus Christ, the great men of the Bible, they are openly mocked in the world today. How has this happened? There was some of it when I was little, but there wasn't much. The mocking, the disbelief, has grown and grown for as long as I've been alive. And it started with deceivers saying, did God really say? The astrophysicist says their studies, their observations of the, quote, universe, have caused them to conclude there is no God. It's just us. Who has the most to gain when people believe it's just us? That answer is as simple as can be. Men's little g, quote, governments in all their various forms have the most to gain from the belief that there is no God or that the laws of God have been done away with. In the last several minutes this morning, I want to play something for you. It's the reason why I want to reach Flat Earth Dave with the gospel of the kingdom of God. Now, I couldn't hardly believe my ears when I heard this. This was Flat Earth Dave Weiss with, believe it or not, Roseanne Barr and her son. I want you to listen to this.
Question as to why would they carry on this big, massive lie is kind of self. This is what I like. I want to say something real quick. This is what I like about the Flat Earth theory and why I'm open to it. Because I was trying to tell my mom this last week. It becomes a super conspiracy theory. Once you see this and go, okay, the Earth is flat, I'm open to it. Now, like you said, selling children and weird stuff. Say everything we talk about in our little pockets of conspiracy theories all makes sense. It's all verifiable. And that's second, because of course everything's a lie. So whatever you believe is true. And I think that's the draw of Flat Earth. I'm not trying to be demeaning. I get why this would be a powerful thing to bring, because then everything else falls.
Here's something they say. You Flat Earthers, you'll never change your mind. Well, actually, we were globers. We changed our mind based on new information.
Right.
And then they say, you just want to feel special. Oh yeah, I want to be I want to be ostracized by my family and friends. You know, I want to feel special. I want to be, you know, I want to have to leave my own company because my partners are getting upset at the truth telling that I'm doing, right? And that's definitely why I did it. And oh, you're just in it for the money. I was making a lot of money. I had a great company, and I walked away from it all. Because I think that this message is super important.
What is the message?
The message is that we are at the center of creation, that we have amazing power that they don't want us to know.
Oh, I believe all that.
Imagine
yeah.
This podcast goes viral, mm-hmm. and the whole world watches it. And they go, you know what? That Flat Earth Dave, he's right. What happens to governments? They dissolve. They're gone. Governments have no power other than in our imagination.
Well, would they have the power that we give them?
They have the power that we give them with our imagination.
Right.
Right. Money, their fiat money has the, you know, controls us. And they've taught us to, you know, government doesn't need money. They can do whatever they want. right?
Yeah.
Well, the government's broke. We're not gonna have any money. Let's give Israel or give whoever $100 billion. You know, they like that. Why don't we take care of our people here, mm-hmm. right? It's all just control. That's what it's all about. So if governments accepted the fact that we are on a flat Earth, it's not the shape that matters. It's that it's created. Because a Big Bang could be a god, or it could just be the Big Bang as a Jesuit priest made it up, not a scientist, made it up, you know, Big Bang. And so you're still guessing there. You could go either way. But when you discover that the Earth is intelligently designed, there's no other option than there's a creator. Now, that's where I draw the line. Whatever your religious beliefs are, that's your own business. I know there's a creator. My relationship with the creator is my personal relationship. Mm-hmm. No one's allowed to ask me about it.
Right.
Right. And that's it. I know there's a creator. Now, if governments knew that admitted the Earth was flat, they now have to make laws that are in alignment with natural law, with God's law. Now they've created a ball, a satanic ball. Right. All the measurements of the ball add up to 666. There's so many 666s in there. Mm-hmm. It's insane. So if you play on their ball field, you have to play by their rules. When you unplug from the matrix, it's literally the matrix that we're in, right? If you unplug from their ball belief system, right? You know, when you're born.
Well, that's funny because that's their God, B-A-A-L.
Yeah, right. Their God is the ball. Hmm. Gravity is the big G, is their God. And so if you play on their ball field and play with their fiat currency, they've got you. They've got you. You know, when we're born, they register us, they put us on the stock market, our birth certificates. Mm-hmm. And there's so many ways around all of this stuff.
And so are we anchored to something? What are we going to do if we all like get together and go, okay, we.
So here's the thing. There's people that say, we need to take down the government. We need a revolution. That's what they want because they've got the military. They want that. If we all ignore the government,
I say that every day. Ignore them.
Yeah. Ignore them.
Ignore them.
They have no power over
us. Retake your energy and your imagination from them, and they'll just wilt and blow away.
Yeah.
Roseanne, that is the absolute truth. They won't exist. They won't exist. They exist in our imagination.
We keep propping them up.
Absolutely.
Even when we deny that they exist, we prop them.
Yeah. People are just so afraid. They're like, well, I'm only one person. There's nothing I could do. Yes. One person knowing the truth is stronger than a million people lying.
That's right.
Right. A lie cannot exist by itself. A lie has to be held up in your imagination. The truth is the truth. It is what it is. It will never not be the truth. Nature is the truth.
That's right.
You've been listening to God Send Us Men Ministries with evangelist and missionary to America, Charlie Stewart. To contact us or to read and listen to more teachings online for free, visit godsendusmen.com.